Wait. Nothing?
Nope.
All right. Hey, guys and ghouls.
You're tuned in to Broadcast from the Belfry, a unseasonably warm podcast for the morbidly curious.
I'm wearing a brown shirt right now like it's fall, but it's not. I'm wearing an orange cardigan like it's fall, but it's not.
It's 57 degrees outside. Probably warmer than that. I saw someone wearing shorts.
That means nothing. We're in the Midwest.
Yeah,
I saw people
true.
Wearing shorts when it was like 37.
No, I saw a girl, when was that one night when it was really cold last week? She was wearing really tiny shorts and it was like 8 degrees outside.
You have to remember, hoes don't get cold.
That's true.
I can say that.
That's true.
Oh, my name's Sanjay, not just ho. And sitting next to me is Georgia. How are you doing today, Georgia?
Here we are.
Yep, here we are.
Here we are.
It's 57, and we're thriving, kind of.
Luna's looking like she's gonna fuck something up.
Yeah, Luna came over just for love. Like, no, like, ulterior motive.
There's no food over here.
No food. The closet door's open enough she can get into it. She just wanted to hang out. What are we talking about today?
Wait, hold on, first. We have, I don't know if you noticed this, but I was looking at Anchor today, we have over 1,000 listens.
No, what?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
I mean, it's not really a lot in the scheme of, you know, podcasts as a general thing, but
still,
that's a lot for us for
turns
7 months.
Yeah, and I was miscounting. We have 30 episodes out right now, including the movie episode.
Oh, yeah, because I didn't give that a number.
Yeah, so technically, like, 1,000 listens over 30 episodes, that's at least 7 listens an episode, you know? So that's exciting.
Our first episode is still our most listened to.
It is.
Most people probably listened to it and was like, these guys fucking suck, and then stopped listening.
Like, the audio is terrible and they don't know what they're doing. We
hate it. You always have to give new podcasts a chance to get going. What I like to do is listen to, like, a new episode and see what it's like, and then I go back and listen to the first episodes. Because if I like the current episodes enough, then I know that I'll be able to put up with their bad audio quality and them figuring out what they're doing.
That makes sense. I just do everything with anime rules, so I watch the first or listen to the first 3 episodes of anything, and then I decide based on that. So I think after episode, like, 2, audio got better, and then after episode, like, 7, we got the booth and it got better again. So you could tell. We had baby steps.
We're getting there. We're still working some stuff out. It's okay.
We really are. Today's episode is sponsored by the letter W for working
wine.
Stuff out.
Oh.
And wine. It's always wine, but there's a sub-theme of working things out
working
today.
Working things out. Well, actually, so today we're going to talk about the Bridgewater Triangle.
I have Bermuda Triangle?
Nope. Oh. The Bridgewater Triangle.
Just the, like, lame cousin of the Bermuda Triangle.
Kind of. It's the New England cousin.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Technically, there are 2 triangles in New England. I'm going to talk about mostly the Bridgewater Triangle, but I'll talk a little bit about the other one, too. Where do we want to start? Okay. The Bridgewater Triangle refers to an area of about 200 square miles within southeastern Massachusetts where tons of alleged paranormal phenomena has occurred. So we're talking UFOs, poltergeists, orbs and balls of fire, or will-o'-the-wisps like we talked about 4 episodes ago.
This is actually just a bridge episode. Next we're going to talk about balls of fire. So the song... Sasuke Uchiha is Fireball Jutsu.
Fireball the liquor. We'll be drinking Fireball
the
liquor.
Yeah, just exclusively.
Well,
have I told my only Fireball story
on
this podcast?
I don't think so.
So I worked at a t-shirt place in Manhattan a couple years ago, It was like 5 years ago now. Holy shit, I'm old. And their biggest
Uh-oh.
day. Oh, yep.
It's time. It's litter box time. Here she goes.
Do we just want to talk over it, or do we want to wait?
Eh, just keep talking.
Okay, cool. Hopefully
It's
it's
background noise.
not loud poops. So their busiest day is Fake Hattie's Day. So the couple days leading up to it, that's a whole lot of prep. Everyone stays super late. And on Fake Patty's Day, just nonstop party. People are in and out, buying shirts, throwing shit. Fake Patty's Day is a huge fake holiday. If you're not from Kansas or Manhattan specifically, look it up. Super fun. Excuse me. Super fun. I love it. I eat brunch every year. Would recommend. So,
most people start drinking at approximately 6 o'clock in the morning,
yep.
And if they haven't passed out by lunchtime, they will keep drinking until A, they pass out, or B, it's like midnight.
Yep, gotta start with kegs and eggs and see where the day goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were like working, people are in and out, everyone's screaming, it's a great time, and there's music playing the entire time. And whenever Fireball by Pitbull came on the station, all the employees had to go to the back and take a shot of Fireball.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And it was like pretty fun. And then as everyone got more and more intoxicated, the like gaps became smaller and smaller. So at one point there were just back-to-back playings of Fireball, and we're like, fuck, we gotta sell shirts. We can't do this.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't even know that Pitbull had a song called Fireball,
yeah.
So.
Fireball.
Never heard it.
It's okay, I'm not gonna link it.
That's fine.
If you wanna listen to it, just do it yourself. I don't care.
Also, various cryptid sightings. UFOs, poltergeists, orbs, and balls of fire, or will-o'-the-wisps, or spook lights, as they're more commonly called, in the New England area, and also various cryptid sightings, including Bigfoot-like creatures, puckwudgies.
What is that?
Did you not get with the Ilvermorny houses when Fantastic Beasts came out?
That was many years ago, and all of the names were really hard to pronounce, so I immediately forgot.
Okay.
The Ilvermorny houses, my Enneagram, and my Myers-Briggs, I just don't remember any of.
What's your Hogwarts house?
Slytherin.
I could see that.
Yeah. Snake boys for life.
I'm right on the cusp between Gryffindor and Ravenclaw.
That makes sense. You're like pretty aggressive and a big nerd, so.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, puckwudgies, giant snakes, and the mythological Thunderbird.
I know what we're doing now.
Not
all right.
The car.
Yeah. I didn't know it was a car. I did know, but I don't know what it looks
or
like.
Or like Thunderbirds Argo, like the puppet show. Okay. It was a great show. All right. Boundaries of the triangle were first defined by a cryptozoologist named Lauren Coleman, who also coined the term, and that was in the 70s. And there are like various parts of the triangle. So the first one I'm going to talk about is the Hockomock Swamp.
That's a cool name, too.
Yeah, I dig it. Let's see. The name means the place where spirits dwell. It's a Native American, I think it's an Algonquin word. And that's in kind of like central to the triangle. And it's a marshland that is the largest freshwater basin in Massachusetts. And it was the final holdout for Chief Metacomet and his warriors before they were massacred by the British, which was a part of King Philip's War in 1675. The most fucked up part about this whole thing is that King Philip and Chief Metacomet are the same person.
What?
But British people felt the need to anglicize Chief Metacomet's name. So
what
it's called King Philip's War, even though King Philip refers to Chief Metacomet.
That's pretty whack.
So, fun fact. So, around 3000 Wampanoag, it was really hard for me to read this word without thinking of the Wampanoag from Parks and Rec.
Nope. I've definitely watched all of Parks and Rec 1.5 times.
The Wampanoag is like the Native American tribe that
is
around the area.
Yep. Back in.
But yeah, around 3,000 Wampanoag men, women, and children were killed or sold as slaves and sent to the West Indies. Fun fact. So now there are a bunch of stone monuments all over the swamp, and there are tons of stories about ghosts, and there's supposed to be an 8,000-year-old burial ground there as well.
Ooh.
Which just makes me think of the beginning of Poltergeist, because that movie is about the house that's built on the Indian burial ground, and that's why all the dumb stuff happens.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense fully.
I think the Simpsons did that spoof episode where Homer like took the skull and then their house was like sucked into a different dimension or something.
For some reason, I have seen that, but I haven't seen the movie Poltergeist, and I've only seen like five Simpsons episodes.
I don't remember if that was one of the Treehouse of Horror episodes.
It was. Okay. That might be why I remember
Those are the best episodes. I love to watch those every Halloween. They're Halloween gold.
I mean, it's not as good as New Girl's Thanksgiving episodes, but, you know.
It's not as good as Brooklyn Nine-Nine's Halloween episodes either.
That's true, yeah.
But it's still great.
Mm-hmm. And older than me.
Yep. Word has it that when archaeologists were doing excavations within the burial grounds, there's red ochre within the graves. And when they were excavating those, the red ochre bubbled and disappeared. Which could have scientific explanations, because red ochre is basically just iron oxide. Mm-hmm. And it was put on the bodies, as most people believe, some kind of spiritual rite as a part of the burial practice.
Ashes to ashes, rust to rust, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they said that photographs of the site wouldn't develop, so whatever.
I mean, they could have just exposed their film, or it could be, like, humid or something, too.
Yeah, it's a swamp.
Yeah, it's a swamp.
Maybe it just got moist.
Yeah, that's why there's no moist.
You're welcome.
Episode's actually sponsored by the letter M for moist.
I wouldn't complain if this becomes like a Sesame Street where every episode has a letter theme.
It's always just going to be M for murder, G for gross, or E for ew.
Or U for upset.
Yeah, or U for upset. That's it. Which is also me for upset, so it's the same thing.
So, yeah, like I said, Hockomock is an Algonquin word for place where spirits dwell, and they believed it was a place of magic. But when the British came over and they were like, what the fuck is a swamp? We don't have those. This place is creepy. So in the 1600s, it started being known as the Devil Swamp, thanks to the colonists. So that has great connotations as well. In 2008, it made USA Today's top 10 great haunts list.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Number 7 is my day-to-day nightmares, so, yeah.
I thought you were going to say my dating life.
Yeah, I mean, that also would have been true, so. Wait, are there not swamps in England?
Mm-mm.
Really?
There are marshes, but they're not swamps.
Interesting.
Yeah, which I mean,
because, like, England's also always rainy, you know?
Yeah.
I assume that there'd be, like, more deposits of water, unless there's immaculate drainage naturally.
I think it's something, I would assume it's something to do with what kind, the ecology of the landscape, where swamps are more, I don't know, swampy, and marshes are more marshy.
That's true.
I think maybe it has something to do, just going back to our Bog Bodies episode, maybe it has something to do with the fact that the marshes have the peat in them. Maybe swamps don't have that, so it provides like a different ecological micro environment or something like that.
I guess. Or maybe it's, I don't know. I thought that was just strange. It also could be it's probably a sediment thing, actually.
That's not really my area, although I should know things about. I know things about sediment, just not in that area, because that's not the area where I did archaeology.
I know a fair amount. I'm going to use all of my keywords right now.
Do it.
It's probably the granular size of the soil in the area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all I got. So let's continue.
That is something you have to take note of when you're doing your archaeological reports.
Exactly. Big dirt, little dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Little dirt, less drain. Big dirt, big drain.
You're like, these are pebbles. These are cobbles. This is sand. This is soil. This is
rock. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's great. It takes a lot to learn the difference, too.
Yeah, it's dumb.
And you have to make note if they're rounded pebbles or cobbles or angular pebbles, because that will tell you, like, what the environment used to be like or where those came from. It's great. Everything's great. I miss archaeology.
I've got to sneeze.
Do it. Gross.
Thank you. All right.
There are also paranormal sightings around the swamp and animal mutilations. There are two specific incidents that have been reported. One was in, they were both in 1998. One where a single cow was found butchered in the woods, and the other was where a group of calves were discovered in a clearing and they were super mutilated.
Gross.
And so they don't know if they were UFOs or if they were part of a ritual sacrifice, because there's been a lot of like satanic cult activity reported in the forests around the area as well.
Ew.
And then there are legends of Native American curses. So one story says that Native Americans cursed the swamp hundreds of years ago because of the poor treatment they received from the colonists. And the colonists took this revered belt called the Wampum Belt that was lost during King Philip's War. And the paranormal unrest is because the belt is missing, and if it was returned to the area, then things would...
Interesting.
Yeah, like the skull that Homer took. Things would go back to normal if you just put it back.
It's actually closer to WWE's Hell in a Cell. You know, like if you have the belt and if it's near the cell, then there's a big unrest. But once the belt is returned to the cell, hell ends. You know, that's how that works.
So, big nerd secret I'm going to spill right now. When I was a kid, I was really obsessed with Michael Flatley, who is like the big Irish dance person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have his second production, Lord of the Dance, on DVD because I'm a huge nerd. It's like something I watch once every 5 years, whatever. But I made Stu watch it this weekend. And in it, like, he's Lord of the Dance. He has a special belt. He gets defeated by these bad guys temporarily, but he's basically Jesus, so he comes back from whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But
from Irish hell to Irish heaven.
They take his belt and then they give it to the main bad guy, and that's like super symbolic, and it just reminded me of WWE. I was like, wait, there shouldn't be similarities between Irish dancing and WWE. But here we are. The power's in the belt.
I'm pretty sure in the Disney Channel original movie, Luck of the Irish, Michael Flatley is in it.
And I think he is too.
Yeah, I'm like pretty sure, because he's the main character's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Michael Flatley. Want to see me dance? And the kid's like, wow, that looks dumb. Whoa, why am I dancing like this now? I didn't know I knew how to dance. And he's like, you're a natural kid, because he's a fucking leprechaun.
That's
the whole point of the movie. He stole a coin or got a coin, or I don't know.
It's been a long time since I've seen that.
If you haven't watched a Disney Channel original movie this month, do it.
Then one of the other legends is that there was a Native American princess and she was in love with a white man, but her father didn't approve. So the tribe killed the white man. This just sounds like colonial propaganda right here.
Yep.
So the tribe killed the white man, and then the princess jumped to her death from a ledge in the forest.
Oh,
and now people claim to see her ghosts on the cliffs, and she's called the Lady of the Ledge.
Do you think that she's just always falling? Like, she is Sisyphus and that's her hell. If she jumps off and right before she hits the ground, she just
comes back to the top.
So if you just hang out there, you'll hear like very faint screaming that turns to very loud screaming that becomes faint again.
So that'd be really annoying.
It's like,
there are reports of human-like screaming coming from the area as well. So there you go.
That's
figured
so
it out.
Sanjay. It's the future I can see.
There are also reports of Thunderbird sightings, like I said, monster snake sightings, giant anaconda-sized snakes, black giant monster dogs, Bigfoot sightings, a 4-foot-high panther with glowing red eyes.
On its hind legs? Because that's not a big deal. Or like on all fours, which
like
is pretty...
to its shoulder.
Yeah,
be
that's,
4-foot-high.
That's scary.
A turtle as big as a VW beetle, Native American ghosts, as well as feelings of a negative or evil presence, feelings of being watched, human-like screams being heard, which could be falling ghosts or maybe owls even, if we're looking for some, you know, real life here.
Or just anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
I experience all of those things on a daily basis.
Someone just walking to the woods to scream just to get it all out.
Honestly, I think I've said this, when my friend Joe, a friend of the podcast, a great guy, he looks like Andrew Garfield when he still worked at the same Panera I did, or when he still worked at Panera, whenever we had a really shitty time, like whenever we were super busy and people were being mean or something to us in the drive-thru is separate from the rest of the building. There's a long hallway that connects it to like the main part of the cafe. So we would, one of us would look over and say like, "Hey, you want to scream?" And we'd be like, "Yeah." 3, 2, 1, and we would just scream top of our lungs, like just to like unleash, and it helps so much. So I can understand a good forest yell. Yeah. I've done some good drive-through yells, and they've helped me a lot.
Tons of murders, including satanic cult ritual murders, possibly, and hooded figures that have been seen practicing rituals in the surrounding forests. There are reports of people who disappear in the swamp, probably just because they got disoriented and then.
Yeah, it's a swamp.
They get lost.
Yeah.
They're like, even experienced huntsmen who are familiar with the terrain have never come home, which...
Yeah, you just have to get stuck. Like, I don't know.
It's a swamp. It probably gets foggy, and then you get confused, or, like, the lighting changes, and then you don't know which way you're going.
Exactly. There's, like, the moss is on all sides of the tree because you're in a fucking swamp.
Just... The moss doesn't point to the city.
Yeah.
And those reports go... all the way back to colonial times. And there are reports of non-indigenous animals there that are super out of place, like mountain lions, African servals, black bears, and moose, and no one knows how they got there.
I mean, they probably walked, but...
Did an African serval walk from Africa, or did it escape from the zoo?
I'll let you know in a second when I learn what a serval is. Oh, it's this did not walk. Oh, they're so cute, though.
I know. It's kind of like an ocelot.
Yeah. Look at that face. It's so fast. Oh, these are so cute. I'll take 20.
And then you get eaten in your sleep.
Oh, this picture's so blurry, but look at his dumb big ears.
Yeah, those are so ears. Cute. He's got a little harness on.
He does. It's like a front diaper. Oh, look at the kittens. They're so chunky.
Look at those ears. Oh, and look how big their feet are. I love big feet.
Real tiny face.
No. Okay.
This is adorable.
Look up an African serval. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah, you will not regret it. The kittens are one of the cutest things I've ever seen. This one's screaming. Look at him.
I imagine that's the noises coming out
of
his face.
He's got little teeth. This is so cute.
People living on the outskirts of the swamp claim poltergeist activity in their home and seeing spook lights, like I talked about a minute ago, and like we talked about a few episodes ago. One resident said that, quote, here we go, it's kind of long. The neighborhood kids often talked about feeling watched in the swamp and hearing something bullying through the forest, knocking down trees. We'd also heard of people actually hearing loud blood-curdling screams. It wasn't until I was maybe 10 or 11 that some friends and I experienced these things for ourselves, along with a whole slew of other phenomenon. Disembodied voices, trees being thrown at us while deep in the woods, what looked like human footprints in the cornfields, ghostly forms, strange lights, a strange squeaking sound that seemed to be coming from a plastic toy, and then in parentheses it just said, a Native American head. So, like, did someone make a plastic Native American head squeaky toy? I don't understand. That seemed to respond to questions and things we were saying. Cult activity, you name it.
Someone's just yeeting trees? Where are you?
And that's one of the things that Bigfoots are supposed to do is, like, throw trees.
Interesting. Do you know that the old saying, if a tree falls in the woods but no one's around to see it, doesn't make a sound?
Yeah.
That shit's dumb. Like, I've never understood that. Do you understand how weight works? Like,
it still makes a sound.
Yeah, it's gonna make a sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if your forest is made of pillows because you're in, like, the gumdrop forest or whatever, then, like, I don't...
I feel like if you were in the gumdrop forest, they'd be made of gumdrops.
You've gotta sleep on something.
That was a bad analogy.
Everything isn't gumdrops in the gumdrop forest,
yeah,
Georgia.
It is. That's... Well, the trees are. That's why it's the gumdrop forest. Other people claim that they've experienced that they'll be in the swamp in the middle of the afternoon, everything's normal, and then all of a sudden it just gets dark like it's nighttime. And then they'll walk back to the road and it'll be normal after afternoon daylight.
Wild.
Which that just made me think of Plan 9 from Outer Space. Remember? It was dark in the cemetery, and then it so switched dumb. To Bela Lugosi, and it was light outside.
Yeah. That was so dumb. I'm not saying that movie was bad, but I regret watching it.
It was pretty bad. Another person said, quote, I used to live in West Bridgewater. I've been deep in that swamp many times hunting. I never saw or experienced anything unusual until one day when I was camping with a buddy on the town river. We noticed something weird was going on in the sky. There must have been at least 20 of these crazy-shaped aircraft with all kinds of crazy lights going overhead just above the trees. They weren't high up at all. We couldn't figure out what they were. They were silent, no sound at all, and they were not normal aircraft, that's for sure. So, that's cool.
Yeah, I guess. It was the Native American heads, you know.
You are the one that likes UFOs. So.
I do. I love UFOs. It's different. I'm wearing an I Heart UFO shirt right now.
No, you're not.
It's not true. I'm wearing a brown
shirt. We already said what color shirt you're wearing today.
It's very nice. I got it for $1.50. Best purchase of my life. Top five. Actually, I bought some really dope shit in the last couple years. Bottom five purchases, a hat. Didn't like it.
Also within the Bridgewater Triangle is the Freetown Fall River State Forest. And that's reportedly been the site of various cool activities, including animal sacrifice and ritual murders committed by admitted Satanists, as well as a number of gangland murders and suicides.
This is like 100%, or how far away from Boston is this forest?
I think a couple hours.
A couple hours?
Yeah.
So we're assuming that it's all, like, that kind of, like, weird shit, right?
Like, Boston weird shit?
Yeah. It's because they're so close to Boston. So, like, separate from, like, all the Native American, like, mm-hmm. stuff that's going on, there's also just prior instances of, like, women can read and write.
People
burn
wasting
them.
Shit tons of tea.
Yeah, people wasting tea.
Assholes.
What I'm learning is I never want to go to Boston.
I really want to go to Boston.
Yeah, Tyler and Anna live in Portland, Maine, and I actually really want to go visit them. It sounds really nice, and it looks really nice.
Boston's supposed to be hella haunted, and there's Salem and Danvers nearby. The Sam Adams Brewery is in Boston.
What?
There's
I didn't know that. It makes sense, but...
Boston Lager.
Yeah.
And I love Sam Adams, and, there's tons of history. You can go to a Tea Party reenactment, which I really want to go to. There's tons of, like, haunted walks and tours you can do that's, you know, super my style.
I just want to eat a lot of crab and some oysters.
Oh, that's yeah. It. I bet they have really great restaurants there, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah. And Tyler and Anna, let us know.
We'll just road trip.
Yeah.
We'll go to one, drive to the other, go back to the other one.
They live together. They're married, you turd.
No, I mean, like, we can... fly to Boston, road trip
sense.
To Portland.
I was like, what do
two
you
two birds, one stone.
Drive from one of their, one side of the house to the other side where the other
yes,
one is?
Yes, I'm going to drive through a house.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, ain't no rules in Boston. People are murdering cows, killing Native Americans.
But they're in Portland, so.
Yeah.
In a different state.
It's close enough.
I don't really, it's probably kind of a long drive, honestly.
It's probably not. I think Maryland and Maine are like pretty close.
But Maine's really, really big.
I'm really bad at geography.
Maine is way bigger. Also, Boston's in Massachusetts.
So. I have no idea where Massachusetts is.
Okay. moving on.
I went to public school, okay?
So, in September of 1978, a 15-year-old cheerleader, Mary Lou Arruda, was abducted. Her body was found in the forest that November, tied to a tree with a ligature around her neck that would have slowly strangled her.
Damn.
In 1980, Carl Drew was arrested after the bodies of several women were found in the forest. Turns out, this guy is an occultist pimp who referred to himself as Satan and used his rituals to keep his women in line. And so, all of the women who worked for him were forced to participate in torturing and murdering other women who had pissed him off.
You said so many words in the last, like, 4 minutes. This person sounds very interesting.
Yeah, right? I mean, obviously he sounds like a piece of shit, but I kind of want to read more about him.
Oh, yeah, no, he's a terrible person. Yeah. But he also sounds like if you got a really edgy 14-year-old, like a... What's that? A Second Life account. Do you remember Second Life?
No.
It's like...
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm pretty sure it's Second Life. It's,
I'm too old for the shit.
No, it's from like the early to mid 2000s, like maybe late 90s, like early 2000s.
And Pre-MySpace.
Yeah, like pre/slash around. And there, it's a game where you literally, it's an MMO where you just live your second life. So you make like avatars that look like you, and you can interact with people, and so that's like all you can do. It's like Sims, but an MMO.
Okay.
Yeah. So people would just like do and like say shitty stuff because they were like, oh, what's this internet thing? I'm going to be a turd on it.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep. Trolls before trolls were a thing.
Lol. In 1987, a drifter was mistaken for an undercover cop, and he was murdered in the forest. So that sucks.
Can you imagine just being homeless and then getting killed for right? It? That sucks.
In 2001, two men were found shot on the road that runs through the forest. In 2015, the dismembered bodies of two young women were found stacked on top of each other. So speculations were that there was a serial killer operating within the triangle, but that was 5 years ago, and... the article I was reading about this is a few years old, but I don't think that anyone has been caught and that no other related deaths have been discovered, so no one knows if, like, the serial killer got caught for something else, if it is a serial killer, or if he's pulling, like, a Dennis Rader and he's just taking 20 years off before he kills again.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Or he's just really good at it now, and he's just, like, hiding the bodies differently.
Yep. Also within the forest is the Halifax Murder House, where in 1874, William E. Sturdivant walked into the house of his two great uncles. One was doing some chores before going to bed, and the other was already in bed, and he bludgeoned them both to death, and then their maid saw him doing something part of that that was bad, and... she tried to run away, and he bludgeoned her to death in the garden as well. And then this sentence was in one of the articles I read, and it made me laugh. Other incidents include hazardous waste dumping in 1996, reports of aggressive abandoned dogs in 2006, and reports of an escaped emu wandering the forest in 2006.
What in tarnation?
What in tarnation? The first documented UFO report on the planet was in 1760. My note says, however, it certainly wasn't the last UFO report to come out of the Bridgewater Triangle. Halloween 1908, there was a UFO sighting. In 1968, five people claimed that they saw a strange ball of light floating among the trees in a wooded part of the area.
Was it just like the moon? Like, what's the over-under that it was just like the fucking moon they were on shrooms?
Could be.
Yeah.
It was the 60s.
That's...
In the 1970s, UFO sightings were frequently reported to occur in different areas of the Bridgewater Triangle. In one 76 report, two UFOs were seen landing along Route 44. And then in 1994, a Bridgewater law enforcement officer reported seeing a triangular-shaped craft with red and white lights. And then one of the towns that's kind of encompassed in the triangle frequently receives reports of glowing balls of light floating over the ground at the local dog track.
The balls of light just love to gamble too. That's it.
So then there, as far as ghosts go, there are also, so there's the Native American ghost that we talked about, and then a mysterious redheaded hitchhiker that haunts a stretch of Route 44, and then there's a ghostly phantom that appears in the swamp near Route 138. And then in Freetown, there's supposed to be, which is one of the towns in the area, a ghostly trucker that's rumored to speed along the winding road, blaring his horn and threatening passing motorists. So that's cool.
That's like kind of rude.
Right?
I guess maybe he's like, I'm a ghost, beep beep. Beep, beep. Get out of my way.
So, it kind of reminds me of that episode, the Christmas episode of Bob's Burgers. There's, like, a giant candy cane truck, and Bob is, like, driving with their Christmas tree, and he pisses him off somehow, and then the truck is, like, stalking him, and then the guy gets out, and he's really short, and he tries to fight Bob, and then he starts crying.
Yeah. The most relatable content.
All right, you want to talk about puckwudgies?
Yeah.
They are found in Delaware and Wampanoag folklore. Wampanoag. maybe. I don't know how I'm saying that. They're said to be 4 to 5 feet tall, and the name translates to little wild man of the woods that vanishes.
Adorable.
Which also sounds like a leprechaun.
Yeah.
According to legends, Pukwudgies can appear and disappear at will, lure people to their deaths, use magic, launch poison arrows, and create fire. Mm. I wish I could do that.
Yeah, me too. Where do they get the poison?
True story. Maybe
it's Amazon.
They're supposed to look like porcupines, I think. Oh. They have like spiny on their back. Oh, that's actually
really creepy. Never mind.
Maybe they are poisonous themselves. You're saying
Sonic the Hedgehog. They like a real life Sonic the Hedgehog is just like shooting arrows and starting fires.
They don't disappear and reappear. They're just that fast.
Yeah, they're just that fast. That's it. Solved it. You're welcome, everybody.
The Native Americans believed that they were once friendly to humans, but they dicked them over somehow, and so then they just didn't like humans after that.
I mean, it sounds very human. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. According to lore, a person who annoyed a Pukwudgie would be subject to nasty tricks by it, or be subject to being followed by it, and then the Pukwudgie would cause lots of trouble for that person. Mm-hmm. They are known to kidnap people. They say tricks, by the way, which makes it sound just like some mischief, but they are known to kidnap people, push them off cliffs, attack their victims with short knives and spears, and to use sand to blind their victims.
That's awful. Also, they're, what's his name, Dale Gribble from King of the Hill? So half Sonic the Hedgehog, half Dale Gribble. That also just murder people for fun. That's not mischief. That's just that's a crime.
They're described as short, gray-faced, large-eared creatures distantly related to the European goblin. They are fiercely independent, tricky, and not over-fond of humankind. They possess their own powerful magic, and they hunt with deadly poisonous arrows and enjoy playing tricks on humans. And then they show up as one of the houses in Ilvermorny when Fantastic Beasts came out. And in Harry Potter, it's said that the Pukwudgie is supposed to represent the heart of a wizard and favor the healers for some reason. And
I guess if you're going to hurt, you might as well know how to heal too, you know?
Yeah. And when she created Ilvermorny for Fantastic Beasts, there was a whole, like, stink about her using Native American lore being a cultural appropriation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that would be. It's not like she changed the name but kept all the characteristics of like these different Native American creatures. That would be appropriating. But if you're attributing the name still and it's based in like literally the history of America.
Yeah.
Like that's the logical foundation. Is there a crowbar by your bed?
You know, in case someone breaks in and attacks me.
I guess. Why is it painted yellow?
So you can see it in the dark.
Yes.
I don't know. It was painted yellow. Why are most tools black and yellow?
I don't know, because they're Steelers fans.
Ew.
That's a sports reference. Look at me go.
Nope. I'm going to show you. So this is from one website that
I'm so winded right now. Okay.
Look at this fucking picture. Can we just...
That's the worst Photoshop job.
This is a father and son, and it took me a really long time to figure out which one was which. New England Ghosts and the Good Spirits Newsletter online. I'm just going to read this shit straight from the website because I can't say it any better than they do. A region of paranormal activity well known long before the arrival of Europeans, Paul and Ben consider the roughly 200 square mile Bridgewater Triangle to be a thin place, which is supposed to be a Native American term, much like England's Rendlesham Forest or Connecticut's Skinwalker Ranch.
Hey.
Wait.
Why
does it say England's Rendlesham Forest? Because England is in... What's Connecticut's Skinwalker? I think they're already wrong.
Yeah, I think they are. This is a good start.
They define a thin place as one in which conditions are right for the simultaneous overlap of multiple parallel worlds in the same space, resulting in many kinds of seemingly unrelated paranormal phenomena. Paul and Ben, live less than 20 miles from the triangle. They began looking into the area in 2010 because of its proximity to their home. Do they live together then? If they're father and son?
Yeah.
Like, oh boy. And as a sort of practice case for Ben, if this picture was taken like in 2010 or recently, he looks way too old to be having a practice case.
Mm-hmm.
They have had some interesting encounters. On July 30th, 2010, Paul and Ben were exploring the area at the northern end of Watupa Pond, actually a large lake partially within the Freetown State Forest, a notorious area within the triangle. They felt strongly that they were being watched. When their photos were examined, very small human figures seemed to appear in two. In one, there is what appears to be a fully clothed, full front figure. In the other, there seems to be a small face with a brown hood over the head. Paul warns that photos taken in the forest can be problematic when it comes to isolating possible paranormal content. That's especially true given the play of light on leaves and how digital cameras interpret it. What drew them to these images, however, were the flesh tones, because those never happen in nature.
Nope, ever.
Paul points out that except for certain fungi, flesh tones are uncommon in temperate woodland environments. Judge for yourself.
Whoa.
I mean, it looks weird, but I also don't think that it's something as crazy as what they think it is.
Yeah, exactly. They're definitely like running with this.
Yeah. So, also, this one looks like it's got some emo hair going on. Mm-hmm. Some like 2006 Gerard Way shit.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, Ben has apparently had keen multiversal abilities since infancy, and one of these has been an ability to communicate with trees. Here, he connects with one of four large oaks in this picture, right here. He's just standing there. He had told Paul that they would encounter that day. He says he learned that the whole area was sick, and that help was being requested from the different life forms there. There also seems to be a glow around where Ben is standing.
That's the sun, my dude.
Like, well, look, and you know how all that shit...
That also
gravel and dust and shit gathers at the side of the road.
Or that could be a smudge on the lens.
Yeah.
Also, they're just both the Lorax. One of them's the Lorax, and one just looks like the Lorax.
It looks like how all the sand and gravel, like, gathers on the side of the road, and he just kicked it all up.
Yeah, and then just stood there at looking at a tree. Didn't even, like, touch the tree, which, I don't know, maybe if you can talk to trees, you don't want to touch them because you need
their consent
first.
They're like, yo, boundaries.
Yeah, and just like, that's
get
my
off
butt.
Me. Which, that's what I do when people touch me and I'm a person, so. Yeah,
that's true.
So that's the brief overview of the Bridgewater Triangle. There's also the Bennington Triangle, which is in the neighboring state of Vermont. And I'm just going to do a brief little tangent about that real quick. That was a phrase coined in 1992 after being compared as an area with similarities to the Bridgewater Triangle. And a number of people went missing there between 1945 and 1950. And the center of the triangle is this mountain called Glastonbury Mountain. And there's some towns that are, again, incorporated into the triangle, and one of them is Bennington. And it used to be a logging industry, but that started declining, and it's kind of a ghost town now. So, five people disappeared. The second one is the most famous for some reason. I can't remember why, but we'll get there. Let's see. Also, there are reports that a massive ape man or a gun-wielding nudist are both present in the
area.
Those
aren't the same.
Nope.
Either Bigfoot or, like, literal mobster.
Yeah.
It's like Al Capone or a Yeti. That's it.
In 1892, a sawmill worker drunkenly bludgeoned a coworker to death with a rock after he heard a voice telling him to do it. And he was committed to an asylum, but managed to escape. He disappeared, and then 5 years after that murder, another one followed. And that was a guy who went out to hunt, and he got shot by persons unknown but was found with his fully loaded gun next to him, and he seemed to have been dragged for several yards. Paranormal theories concerning all of those cases have happened. Again, voices being heard or like showing up on static radio, and then like sightings of figures, and then kind of more Bermuda Triangle stuff happened where like navigation equipment never works and like planes have crashed and stuff like that. And then between 1945 and 1950, there were the five people that went missing.
What if like all the boats that disappeared in like one triangle appeared in the other and vice versa with the airplanes?
They're in Bermuda and then all of a sudden you're just like, why the fuck are we in Massachusetts?
Yeah, exactly.
Holy shit. How did we get into the middle of a forest?
Give me my wine, you piece of shit.
Oh, that's yours. Here, this one's mine. Get out of my face.
Yeah, you're just like on the ocean. You're like, it's a little bit foggy. And like, oh, we hit something. Iceberg? It's way too warm.
It's a tree.
Tree?
What the fuck?
Less plausible.
So in 1945, the 74-year-old Mitty Rivers was the first to disappear. He was a hunting guide, and he was leading a party around an area known as Hell Hollow in the woods around the mountain.
Sweet name.
Yeah, what did they think was going to happen, honestly?
I don't know, they could have named it, like, Mr. Cool's Happy Time Forest or something, and, like, there would have just been, like, I don't know, like, free festivals and, right? Like, I don't know. Free Yeti tumblers and stuff. Still on the Yeti kick, that's it.
Apparently. So he was an experienced hunter and outdoorsman, and he knew the local area really well. And people were like, oh, he'll be fine. He just got separated from the party. He'll make his way back somehow. But he was never seen again.
He'll be back in like 20 minutes. It'll be fine.
There was an extensive search, but the only thing found was one rifle cartridge in a stream, so they speculated that it had just fallen out of his pocket. Mm-hmm. And 300 men searched the area, and that was locals and soldiers from the fort nearby. And they searched for 8 days, and nothing. They never found any other evidence of him.
Dang.
Then the next year, about a year later, in December of 1946, Paula Jean Weldon disappeared. She was 18, and she's the most well-known of the cases. She went hiking on the Long Trail, which ran near Hell Hollow, and lots of witnesses saw her, including a man who gave her directions to the trail, and a couple who were also hiking and said that they had seen her ahead of them on the trail, because she was wearing like a bright red jacket, so it was easy to identify her.
It's also the spookiest color.
Yep. And they said that she was ahead of them, and she turned a corner in the trail, and when they got there, they expected to like still see her ahead, but she was gone. And this has been called the most infamous missing persons case in Vermont history. There was a 1,000-person search party and a $5,000 reward. They searched by aircraft. There were several law enforcement departments from different areas looking. They never found any evidence. There was a lot of criticism by the public, including Paula's father, regarding the methods that were used by authorities to find her, because apparently they were really unsophisticated.
They had like helicopters, though. That's pretty sophisticated.
I don't know. But this ultimately led to the establishment of the Vermont State Police. And the case is still open.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. So if anyone wants $5,000 and lives in the Vermont area,
yeah,
go for it.
Red jacket. Mm-hmm. That's all you got.
Red jacket, probably bones.
Hell Hollow.
Yep.
Then, about 3 years later, to the day, December 1st, 1949, 68-year-old James Tedford is a veteran. He's the third person to disappear. This one's really weird. He went to visit his relatives and was returning to Bennington by bus via Route 7, which is where most of these are happening. And that passes right by where the other two disappearances happen.
Mm-hmm.
Witnesses saw him get on the bus. The driver said that he was in his seat at the last stop before Bennington, but when the bus got to the Bennington stop, Tedford had disappeared, leaving his luggage on the rack and an open timetable in his empty seat.
Wait, what's an open timetable? Like a
Like a
spreadsheet?
bus schedule.
Oh, whoa,
Yeah.
that's super crazy.
So according to witnesses, he got on the bus and was still on the bus at the last stop, and then somewhere between the last stop and the stop he was supposed to get off on, he just disappeared and left all his shit there.
Oh man, that sucks.
Yeah.
How is he gonna? That's why he's still missing, or why he was gone. He didn't have his timetable with
He
him.
didn't have a schedule.
He couldn't catch another bus. He was
It
just so confused.
makes me think of the SpongeBob episode.
With rock bottom. Yeah. I can't understand your accent.
Then in 1950, on October 12th, Paul Jeffson was 8 years old, and he was hanging out in his parents' truck playing while his mom went to feed some pigs. And when she got back to the truck, he was gone, and he was also wearing a bright red jacket. They brought in a bloodhound to sniff out his scent, but the trail was said to have gone cold at a crossroads, suggesting a possible abduction. And some people say that one leg of the crossroads, which happened to be Route 7, where everyone else disappeared, and so that had something to do with it, or other people are just like, no, someone just saw a kid walking through the forest by himself and was like, ooh, I'm a pedophile, this is great.
Yeah, just like I'm a terrible person. Time to yeet this kid.
And then search parties didn't find anything, but there were rumors that his parents killed him and fed his remains to the pig.
Whoa.
Yeah. And his dad claimed that it may have been the lure of the mountains because he had talked of nothing else for days leading up to his disappearance.
So their kid lost his mind. The one of the parents also snapped and was like, "Why can't you?" It's like what's that movie? Like The Babadook. It's like, "Why
Oh.
can't you be normal?" Ah! And then they killed him and fed him to yeah. That's pretty like open shut case.
Yeah. So, no. And then the last one of these five is happened just 2 weeks later in 1950 again, when 53-year-old Frieda Langer disappeared. She was camping with some of her family, and she and her cousin were off hiking, but she fell into a stream. So she told her cousin, like, just hang out here, I'm gonna run back to the tent, change into dry clothes, and then I'll catch back up with you, and we can continue hiking. But she didn't catch up, so he went back to the campsite, and the rest of the family said that she had never returned, and nobody had seen her since they had left for their hike.
Why do people try to do stuff by themselves in the woods? I just don't understand that.
Yeah,
You
I'm
should
not a
never be
fan.
more than like earshot away from everyone.
Yeah, like, I'm going to pee, but I'm gonna talk the whole time.
Exactly. Gonna scream about it.
Five searches happened over the next 2 weeks with 400 people and helicopters, but no one found anything, and then 6 months later, her badly decayed body was discovered on May 12th in 1951, in an area that had previously been searched several times. And no cause of death could be determined because of the condition of her body, but hers is the only disappearance where the body ever turned back up. And there were like really no connections between all the disappearances,
Except the like.
except for the fact that they were all between October and December, so like the winter season, and
And Route 7 in the
the roots,
woods.
yeah, the area, and then that they were all last seen around 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And some people are like, oh, it's UFOs or some kind of cryptid, and other people think that maybe there's a mountain lion, and other people think that there's a serial killer, but the serial killer is kind of a stretch because there isn't really anything. There's
Just
no,
no consistency with
yeah, there's
it.
no
Yeah.
profile between the victims that is
They all have been
consistent.
outside. Is that enough of a profile?
Right.
Yep.
And the fact that Tedford was like on the bus, that kind of changes things too, because where did he go?
Unless it was the bus driver.
It was the bus driver.
It was the bus itself. It's like the magic school bus,
The
but
haunt
evil.
the haunted school
Yeah,
bus.
the haunted edgy. Oh no, I can't. What would be a good like parallel to that?
I don't know, but I still want to be the teacher.
The haunted
Miss
primary
Frizzle.
school lift. Is that what they're called in England?
An elevator?
No, what's a bus?
A bus?
A
A coach?
coach, yeah.
Like, coach is like a Greyhound bus.
Yeah, that's close enough. Yeah, that's probably what that was. The haunted like primary city, school a coach.
A city bus is still a bus.
Mm, dumb.
And then a Greyhound bus is a coach.
Oh, life update. I finished Dracula. And my main takeaway is I forgot that in England they say cuppa as like a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Like, a cuppa is just a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And someone, like, a mom says it at one point, and I was like, forgot. That's it. Also, Dracula's there. I don't know.
Good job.
It's a whole thing. Would recommend the last it's so three episodes are like an hour and a half each. The first two episodes have great ratings. This last episode, terrible ratings. Like, I think it has, like, it's rated, like, a 4 out of 10. It doesn't deserve that. I see why it got that, but it, no, it was fine. Like, last episode was fine. I only watched the first episode.
There's only, like, three episodes, though, aren't there?
Yeah, it's, like, it's 3 hour-and-a-half-long episodes. Yeah. And episode one, kind of boring until Sister Agatha starts doing her thing. Episode two, kind of boring until, like, you know, they start doing shit on the boat. Episode three, nonstop action, really dumb lady.
Really dumb lady.
Yeah, that's the only spoilers I'm gonna give, but, like, as you're watching it, you'll be like, oh, that's the boat. And, like, oh, that's the dumb lady.
That's a dumb lady.
Yeah. So, what do you think is the spookiest shape? You know, just as a good tie-in for today. Really think about it. I need a reason to. Not just, like, oh, this. Like, you can't just say a fucking rhombus is scary.
No, rhombuses aren't scary.
I think they're scary. That was me projecting.
Why?
I think it's because of how sharp, so two of the angles are acute and two of them are obtuse, but the acute angles always seem so sharp to me. Like, I think if I were to get attacked by a shape, it'd probably be a rhombus.
But what about a triangle?
That's different. Like, triangles are, like, they're equal, they're balanced. If I got attacked by a triangle, I probably deserve it.
Not necessarily.
I think they're the ideal police of the shape world. You know, I think they're the judges.
I feel like that would be a square.
I don't think so. I think squares would be more of, well, squares would be like detectives, you know? Because they're also balanced, but they're a lot more, like, bound. They're within their confines.
Then what would rectangles be?
Like the standard rectangle?
Because all squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares.
That's true. So maybe it's like a PI versus a bounty hunter.
Oh.
So maybe rectangles are bounty hunters, but squares are,
because they, like, can get PIs a little more loosey-goosey with how long their edges are.
Yeah, like, PIs, not gonna tase you. Bounty hunter, gonna fucking tase you.
Gonna shoot you with a potato gun.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think any shapes are scary, so...
Mm, yeah, well, you're ill-prepared.
I guess... seven... Root seven. Seven's supposed to be a lucky number.
I was thinking about that.
Not in this case. Very,
yeah. It's like, seven's supposed to be historically good, and not threes in the are old Benny good or bad.
See? Bennington Triangle. Bermuda Triangle. Bridgewater Triangle. Triangles could be scary shapes.
Yeah, I guess so.
If you believe in... Also, black holes are circular, so that's kind of scary.
Yeah, I don't trust circles. You're right.
And, like, UFOs are always circles, right? Like,
yeah.
Or some of them have been triangles, apparently.
What's that? There's a line in a song. It's like, my circle don't fuck with no squares. And I can't remember what.
I have no idea.
I don't have my phone. This is the one time I need my phone, and it's...
Nope.
Why am I this way?
I don't know.
It's a lyric.
I could look it up, but I'm not going to.
I respect that. Is there anything else you would like to say to tie all this in together? Any remaining thoughts? There we go. That's how human beings phrase sentences.
Hey, we stayed pretty on point today.
We were incredibly on point.
That's crazy.
Like, I think we only derailed for like 10 minutes.
And that was all in the beginning.
Yeah, it was.
Woo!
It was crazy.
Great.
There also was that like 2 minutes where I had to go plug in my laptop.
That's true.
Yeah, that was pretty whack.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, the Lorax doesn't know how cameras work.
No, not at all.
Bennington and Bermuda, the same.
And Bridgewater. That's three triangles.
Yeah, all the same.
What? Oh my god. What if you take those triangles and make them into a triangle?
And then the middle point is probably Skinwalker Ranch, Connecticut. Not at all. Skinwalker Ranch, Nevada. Arizona? Nevada, yeah. Where we said it was.
It's in Utah.
Oh, yep, that's what I said.
Skinwalker Ranch desert. Is in Utah.
Skinwalker Ranch, desert town. Yep. I might do that today. I might triangulate. I'm not going to do that. I have shit to do.
Google map that shit. Somebody do it
that's
for us.
So much work.
Somebody do it for us because I already put in way too much work for the shit. And Sanjay's not going to do it. So.
I'm not. No, I'm going to drink instead.
Somebody who has 10 minutes to do something completely pointless should Google map each three triangles into a triangle and find out where the middle is.
That's something that I wish Alexa could do. That could be like, Alexa, triangulate this point, this point, this point.
That'd be handy.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I was watching a video and they said, like, Alexa something something, and like where my Alexa started, like, talking, and worst.
Sometimes Stu tells my Google to do something, but his phone listens and ends up doing it.
Nice.
It's really annoying.
Yes. Beautiful.
Would the middle be like, how would you find a middle if the triangle was points. Not like, you know, not there an equilateral triangle?
I think there should still be an equidistant point.
That's fair.
I'm like pretty sure. Maybe, actually, I might do this.
Nerd.
We'll see. I'm finding it very interesting now.
I want to know where the middle is, because Bermuda is like...
Well, yeah, but the Bermuda Triangle is also, it's a range.
Yeah.
Like, it's a wide range, so I think that actually might...
So, like, the best thing to do is probably, like, let's just Google map the Bermuda Triangle real quick and see if it does anything.
Like, if it gives us an exact coordinates, or if it gives us, like... Yeah. A map with, like, Crayola, like, gently shaded purple somewhere. Yep, that's water. That looks like what's at the very bottom of your phone? Stars. The Bermuda Triangle's rated 3 out of 5 stars? What the fuck? Why are so many people rating the Bermuda Triangle?
Do not visit! Yeah. 5 stars, great place to visit any time of the year. Hurricanes possible, but other than that, it's great.
Who's doing this? This is awful.
Just go and experience the 5-star service. Oh, these are more reviews. I want to see more.
Are these people kidding? The Bermuda Triangle has a 3.9 out of 5 stars.
I lost my dad, but I will revisit.
They hated their dad anyway, it's fun.
Too much water and I can't swim. Only 4 out of 5, my father-in-law is still alive. Been stuck in here for 5 years. Nice place, though. If you guys want to laugh, you should just Google map the Bermuda Triangle and read the reviews. This is great.
Can you imagine if that person
died,
actually
414, aliens, 210, fingers... 33.
Gross.
Kraken. Mystery. Screaming. Steak.
Megalodon.
Tentacles. Paranormal. I want to know why are there 33 people are talking about fingers.
I don't want to know that. What they do in their cabin is their business.
What the fuck? Pretty good. The Flying Dutchman was nice, except when he ate my dad and took one of my brother's fingers, but that made the trip super good. 20 out of 2. Wait, I lost a finger
a
or two.
10 out of 1. Just fucking reduce your fractions. Reduce your fractions, right. Everybody. Please.
Oh, and my brother fought with a giant octopus and lost a finger. Also, my boat is lost, so now I'm stuck here. You guys are dumb. I don't like the fingers.
Megalodon.
15 people. Send help, thanks. I'm being harassed by a megalodon.
I imagine it's just, like, saying very, like, vague, like, insults that are definitely about you.
Swear to God, I saw a megalodon.
Everyone's just wearing anything around here. Isn't that so great? Like, wow. I'm glad that you, like, don't need to tan to be
These
tan
These are in Spanish,
here.
So I can't read them.
Ooh. Mascarito que posa ter un imico gigante, okay, os megalodons habitan. Didn't even attempt to see what that said, just...
wow. Ooh, that one's in French, wow. Okay, all the ones about megalodons
How do you
are...
say the word baguette?
Baguette?
Okay, so some of my coworkers say baguette, And I'm like, I don't know if that's really French baguette. Or like really Midwestern.
Baguette.
Like B-U-G-G-E-T-T-E. Baguette. And maybe it's like B-U-H-G-E-T-T-E.
I feel like I say baguette more like than baguette. Baguette.
But like not like baguette. You're not like
baguette.
You're like baguette. No. Like no. That sounded like that what's the fly guy from episode one? The guy that owns Annie and his mom.
10 out of 2.3333 would do again, but I died so I can't.
Correct.
Anyway, so yeah, that's straight up like where
Rip future Georgia that has to edit this. Thank you guys for listening to today's podcast. If you liked or hated what you heard, please leave a like, subscribe, or comment. It helps us immensely. You can find us anywhere that you are streaming, including iTunes or Spotify or a couple other places. Also, if you want to just scream while we're recording, feel free to stand outside of the window like these guys are doing right now. It also helps immensely. The screams fuel us. Just scream into the void, and also we may hear that, so thank you. If you'd like to contact us, feel free to do so. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We'll also have a Linktree link in the bottom, so that's an easier way for you to find us. That link will also be linktr.ee/BFTB. So you can follow that link to find us everywhere that we are available, pretty much. Thank you to Marshall for making all of our sick music. We love you, and you make us way cooler than we would be otherwise.
You said that very aggressively.
I did. I love, because I remembered, and I was so excited. What else was I going to say?
Sick.
I think that was it. Marshall's great. Like, subscribe. All the things are available.
Email us.
Oh, you can also email us at broadcastfromthebelfry@gmail.com. I think that's it. I said almost everything at once. This was like props to me. Like I was great.
Yeah,
today.
That was fast.
Thank you. I've Good been job. Practicing. I've just been standing in the mirror crying and yelling the outro at myself. That's it. Nothing else.
Maybe it's because the screams were fueling you.
That's it. Like I said, scream into the void and we will hear you. Yeah. Broadcast from the void free.
No.
Or what do we say to the kind people that listen to us talk? Maybe
1,000 times. Yeah, more than 1,000
yeah,
times.
Yeah, more than 1,000 times. Also, thank you again for all of the streams, all of the telling your friends, telling your family, listening yourself, which you don't have to do. Most of my partners in my life and my family hate listening to me, and you guys choose to do it, so thank you. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia also can't stand listening to me half the time, so shout out to her.
Sanjay also doesn't listen to anything I say.
I don't.
When we're talking, ever. Like, to do this.
It's really bad.
I just talk at him.
Yeah.
He's just a vessel for you.
Exactly. I'm a stand-in. Yep. So, mm-hmm. Also, in case you were wondering, Georgia just writes down keywords as she's going. She has a chalkboard right behind our mic. So, she'll be, like, talking for 10 minutes and then write down, like, big pizza. And I'll look up and be like, so, do you think the moon actually? And then that's how we get all of our content. It's very nice. What do we say to the kind people and their big pizza energy?
Thanks for listening and stay spooky.
Cheesy sluts.
House of 1,000 sluts.
Yeah, House of 1,000 sluts.
We have 1,000, over 1,000 listens. So.
I listen to that band.
House of 1,000 sluts.
Yeah, dude, yeah. That's sick. That's that's a dank metal name.